screenwriter and author Todd Davies, who created the Arcadia trilogy of fairy tales, visits KBOO to discuss mythology, technology, and cooking with what you have. And at 11:30, it's Black Book Talk, today visiting with author Robert Greer to discuss the latest in his contemporary cowboy series, Astride a Pink Horse. That's all coming up. First up, though, Chris Andre hosts here at Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentaries coming right up.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Engineering Committee will meet on the first Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is June 1st, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, your whistleblower radio, and your community response radio, because if we don't do it, nobody will. And if we don't stand up for our environment, our habitat, our one and only planet, well, it really does look now like nobody else is going to stand up for the planet. Oh, everybody, all other nations of the world except for Syria being got all it can manage right now on its hands, and Guatemala, mainly because the Paris Agreement didn't go far enough. So there you have it. One nation in a state of collapse. No environment at all, much left, and one nation who cares so much about their habitat, and not just their own, but the life of the planet, that they don't agree to the Paris Agreements, because the agreements do not take us far enough in the right direction. It's kind of like if you set out from Portland and you want to go to Mexico, and you're driving towards Canada, and someone says, "Hey, you're going in the wrong direction, you know, And you say, oh, gee, thanks. And you slow down. It doesn't matter if you slow down. You're still heading in the wrong direction. And that is exactly the problem with climate policy, our response, not just ours alone, but that of other nations who are all signatory to the agreement. It's good. We definitely slowed down, but we're still heading for Canada. We should be heading for Mexico, if you follow that. Yeah, okay, it's nice that we managed to slow down. So we're going in the wrong direction, people. And on that note, let's take a look at some weather for the our bioregion. Today, we've got showers in the offing, probably sometime after 11, and eventually high around 76, and not much wind. So this evening, tonight, there's a chance of rain late again, and low around 54. For tomorrow, still that hovering chance of a little precipitation for us, and a high near 71. And for tomorrow, Friday night, we've got partly overcast skies and a low around 53. So that's it for our weather, and we are going to be on the topic that we kicked this show off with, which of course might be wrapped up in three little words. Is Paris burning? Well, here to discuss an alternative path, because there always are alternative paths that open to us whenever one big freeway has been shut down. We frequently talk with Matt Stannard of Commonomics about public banking and how it is so transportable, how it is so ultimately scalable and flexible. It can be taken with you, pack it up and bring it along, and apply it to whatever situation that you see could be improved with the addition of a little public banking. So many other ideas cascade out of that, and so much of these concepts are interconnected. It's intellectual pinball on a grand scale. So we are so fortunate today to be speaking with Maike Ludwig. She has a new book out, Together Resilient, which that phrase is everything that I am doing and I want to do and I want to talk about and I want to share and I want to hear more about. And Together Resilience, Building Community in the Age of Climate Disruption. Yes, that's what we are definitely all about. So is Paris burning? About damn straight it's burning. The treaties, if the U.S. pulls out, people already, they are wringing their hands. They've got their knickers in a bunch and knees knocking together. It's like, bitten fingernails right down to the quick. But the fact is, we don't need Donald Trump. We don't need... They're going to cock it up anyway. So I out of my 10 best friends and the ideas that they have about what ought to be done and done immediately on behalf of the global climate, their ideas are so much better on a bad day than anything cobbled together here, because you can't get that many countries to sit down together and agree on anything. People need to nut up and get the job done themselves. Climate looks very different. It's like the proverbial elephant. It depends on where the angle of refraction depends on where how you see it, and again how much money you have, because this is very much a first world treaty. So that said, welcome to the KBOO airwaves. I want to thank you so much, Makwe, for joining us. Another great Commonomics representative joining us today. This is the idea. This is what we'll have to do. So never mind worry. It's so great. They've really got us by our fear, and they're twisting. And we don't need to be afraid of this business. Sure, okay, maybe Donald Trump says no. We're going to do it on our own anyway, as a community. How's that going to work?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate getting a few minutes of airtime with you. So, my basic premise is that, you know, if we're going to waiting for the Donald Trumps and Koch brothers of the world to deal with climate change is a recipe for kind of collective suicide. And that there's so many things that we can be doing on a small local scale. And one of the things that I talk about in the book is that what it would actually mean to deal with climate change is that we would actually need to get our consumption and emission levels down to about 10% of your current average American's consumption. That's a 90% reduction. And that number just sounds crazy intimidating, and it's way past what the Paris agreements were even talking about getting us to. And so one of the things that that I'm really interested in are, so where are the places where people are actually doing it? And one of those places are in intentional communities, which are just groups of people who live together based on shared values and based on sharing as a fundamental principle of how we set our lives up. And so I profile one of the communities in the book that I profile is Dancing Rabbit Eco Village, which is in Missouri. And Dancing Rabbit is actually pretty close to the 10% mark in terms of the amount of consumption and emissions that they are that they're doing. And so there's really viable options, and they're actually really good places to live as well. So that's one of the things that I think is a stopper for a lot of people, is thinking that if you are going to reduce your carbon footprint, that's just really going to suck, that that's going to be like a life of deprivation and struggle, and that's not necessarily true. And one of the other examples that I talk about in the book is actually the country of Bhutan, which a lot of people are familiar with because of the gross national happiness measurement that they do. It's the in 2014, which is the last country that I've seen, the last year that I've seen data on, they were the happiest country in the world. And they're also the only carbon negative country in the world. And I think there's a relationship between those things. I actually think our culture does a terrible job of taking care of people and meeting our real needs. And that a lot of the things that are driving the climate crisis are also driving incredible unhappiness and mental health issues.
I absolutely agree with that. And we see that in permaculture all the time. We're talking about, if you're talking about organic farming, you take much of that. Well, all of the principles, and it's right there. And that's how you would, just as you would build an organic farm, you would build an intentional community, and apply the same principles, and people are happier.
Right. Yeah, they can be. I mean, there are people who are completely miserable in community, and there's definitely ways to set it up that's better and ways to set it up that's worse. But I think that we know a lot at this point in the communities movement about how to set things up so that it is socially functional and economically less stressful and definitely ecologically a lot better than what we have going in the U.S. in general.
So a lot of this has to do with sharing. We talk about the sharing economies, which have attracted, they've really infuriated the structures that are the conventional structures that people think they have to rely on. I think part of the unhappiness comes from believing that we have to rely on this conventional architecture and having it constantly let us down. So we're in a constant state of disappointment and entrained helplessness. We're taught to be helpless and hope that somebody will figure out, you know, the grown-ups will come. It's like, and fix the problems. Hey, you kids down there.
You know? Right. So we should maybe recoin that phrase so it says, we are the grown-ups we've been waiting for.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. You say 2 hours, start yelling at the kids. No, I think the ideas in this, I have not read all of the book. I've read as many excerpts as I possibly could in a short period of time. But part of building community is solving the problems that are before us today, that the Paris Agreement's its main utility is in getting this this one simple idea out to as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm. Right. But yeah, I did a TEDx talk in 2013, and in it, the sort of key phrase in the whole thing was that cooperation is the mother of all sustainability skills. That if we can figure out how to cooperate, then we're actually on the track to living a much more sustainable life. And so I think it's important that that people not just look at technology. We have all the technology we need to solve this crisis. What we don't have is the mindset and the political will and the skills in sharing. And so that's a lot of the focus of my work is actually on culture change work, as well as, you know, economic reform and looking at policy and things like public banks that you mentioned in the intro, that Matt Stannard talks about regularly on the show. So I think all of that sort of coalesces into this package, but what's at the heart of all of it is learning how to cooperate and share.
That's exactly it. Thank you so much. Oh, out of time, but can you just, before we let you go, give listeners a few resources and places they can go to get more information and find out about the book and find out about the work that you're doing?
Sure. Yeah, the book is available actually on the Fellowship for Intentional Community website, which is just IC for Intentional Community, IC.org. And if you go to that website and click on Bookstore and New Books, you'll find the book, Together Resilient. I posted a blog this morning on cowboysonthecommons.org that has a bunch of links in it that people can check out. And my website is just maikwe.net, which is M-A-I.